This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sunny, great day here in Philadelphia. Everything's just great. Sun's out. No bodies, dead bodies floating yet on the Delaware River that I can see out my window here. So everything is just perfect, except for a few things. All right. And the easiest, actually, the most pressing. And there's different ways to look at it. Most pressing would be the Phillies. It's not just the most pressing for Phillies fans. It's the most depressing thing to look at. They are, you could say, and to be kind, they're not very good right now. Right now, they're a bad baseball team right now. They are a bad baseball team. A bad baseball team. Looks worse when you can't score. And I'm still trying to figure out why this lineup can't score runs. Now, I have answers, but why is that the case? Bryce Harper, I think people expected, the expectations, let's put it this way, the expectations were too much. And the only reason I look at Bryce Harper first or talk about Bryce Harper first is because he is the guy that got the most attention because of what he signed for, and he signed, and everybody wanted him. And in the end, I don't have a problem with that, but I think your expectations were way too high. Bryce Harper is a 245 to 250 hitter. That's what he is, but he should be hitting more home runs. He hits home runs, and I get that, and he walks in this analytics nonsense. Well, he walked. He was 1 for 5 last night. And I think he, I don't know if he had, you know, he couldn't have had a walk, not in that game, but I'm pretty sure he was 1 for 5 last night. But I'll check that. But he walks. But so you can look at Bryce Harper. But what's really, and I look at the rest of the lineup. I know Rhys Hoskins is a better player than the way he's playing right now, as far as his average. Rhys Hoskins is a better player. He's hitting 272, which I don't think you should expect much. He got up there because he had 3 hits last night. He walked once. Bryce Harper didn't walk, but he had a stolen base. But he was 1 for 5. He's hitting 242. He's a 245 to 250 hitter. So you can look at Bryce Harper. Okay. And that's one reason. And he should hit for more power. All right, but when you really look at the lineup, I know they miss McCutchen, but one player, the Yankees had, I think, at least 18 injuries. I lost count, and I don't know if they have the best record in baseball, but I think if they're not the best or one of the top two, I'll check the record. But regardless of all that, they had 18 injuries, 18, minimum of 18. I don't even know how many more, and of course, they had a good farm system, and they had players that the other players stepped it up a little bit. But I look at Realmuto. I know he's a better player. I know he's a better player. I know he is. I know he's a terrific catcher. But of all the people in the lineup that I know should do more, Realmuto is one of those people. Now, I don't know if he's playing too much. Now he was out because he had injury. Gabe Kapler didn't sit him down. Segura has been awful the last few weeks. His average is now down to 269. Scott Kingery is the best hitter on your team. Hernandez is in and out. I get it. The starting pitching has had its issues. The middle relief have had their issues. But the focus, now, I've pointed up player problems, and there are issues. They don't score runs, and it's amazing. It's amazing that this team scores as few runs as they do. They don't hit with men in scoring position, and I believe there's reasons for that. The reasons is it's a philosophy. It's a philosophy of the Phillies that strikeouts don't matter. Walks and home runs, that's what matters. Moving runners don't matter. Base hits don't really matter in their world of analytics. And I get on analytics because it has bleeped up this baseball team. It has screwed them up so badly, people are worried about exit velocity and launch angle. I heard last night, and I don't know if Gabe Kapler said it first, but I saw Ben Davis on the postgame show. And he said it was 100. Statcast or somebody said, I don't know who said it. Statcast said when Bryce Harper hit that ball to deep center field, I think that was the ball that they were talking about, hit that ball to deep center field, it came off the bat at 112 miles an hour. I don't give a damn what it comes off the bat. You got to get hits. You've got to produce runs. I don't care what it comes off the bat. I don't care about the stinking launch angle. I don't care about the exit velocity. I don't care about that anymore. It screwed up this baseball team, and it's not, you know, people look at the hitting coach. It's a philosophy of the organization. And my understanding, in the minor leagues, they teach these guys to hit that way as well. They worry about exit velocity and launch angle. How about base hits? Home runs are a joke anymore. I don't even, home runs, everybody hits home runs except the Phillies. But against the Phillies pitchers have given up more home runs than any team in Major League Baseball. And the Miami Marlins have hit less home runs than any team in baseball, and last night they hit one. You know, Aaron Nola pitched much better last night, but he's been up and down. And that's just one of the problems, too, is inconsistency. The inconsistency with the starters. And injuries certainly are a factor, but you can't always blame injuries. The middle relief of the bullpen sucks. It sucks, but you can't always blame that on injuries. Your system apparently isn't good enough. Your pitchers aren't good enough. Your hitters aren't good enough. But here is a focus, and I think it's out of line. And I'm not one, and you know from the beginning, I was not a Gabe Kapler fan. But this year, because they have good players in place, last year they didn't, and he played around too much with the lineup, he's made mistakes. I haven't agreed with anything. And yes, I would have benched Segura either in the game he didn't run or the next day. Yes, I would have benched him. But that's not a reason to fire him. All these people that are outraged that you should fire Gabe Kapler, when I look at this team, I say, if you do that, if the team fires Gabe Kapler, then you've given the players an out, and it's their responsibility to hit. It's their responsibility to get base hits. It's their responsibility to move runners. It's not the manager can't go out there and do it. He puts a lineup out. Whether he changed it or not, I don't know if that makes any difference. It doesn't change anything when you shuffle around the lineup. Obviously, you have to try to do something. But the people that want the manager fired for one thing, and that's because he didn't bench Gene Segura, and I would have benched him. I'll be candid about that. But for me, to say that the manager shouldn't be fired, when I had not been a fan of Gabe Kapler, I think he's been okay this year. He's not the best manager out there, but you're not going to get the best. Not every team gets the best manager. There's a lot of teams that should be have better records than they have. But when you fire the manager, you've given the players an out. And they are the ones responsible. They're the ones that have to do what needs to be done. And if some coach tells you, well, you gotta swing up because the launch angle is important as well as the exit velocity, then I would just do what I'm comfortable as being a hitter. But to blame the manager because the team can't score runs and the pitching is very inconsistent, I think is asinine and ridiculous and stupid, because then you have given the players an out. And I love people that say, well, he's lost the locker room. If you haven't been in the locker room, how do you know whether he's lost the locker room? When you never set foot in that stadium or never set foot in that locker room, how do you know he's lost the locker room? You don't know that. I'm in there pretty much every day, and I don't see he's lost the locker room. They're the same people they were at the beginning of the season. They're the same players. And Gabe Kapler walks through the locker room and talks to his different players. I don't know that I see that he's lost the locker room. And for people to say that have never set foot in that locker room, it's foolish, it's wrong, and it just makes no sense. Oh, he's lost the locker room. How do you know he's lost the locker room? I remember when people questioned Doug Peterson his first year. Oh, he's lost the locker room. I remember people say, well, he's only been a high school head coach. What the hell does that have to do with anything? And then he goes and wins the Super Bowl, and he's actually an excellent coach. He's an excellent coach in the NFL. Should have been the coach of the year they won the Super Bowl. But nonetheless, he's a terrific head coach, and he fits right with the football team. But I don't want to get into Doug Peterson. That's not my point. My point is, you overreact to the way the players play. Now, Chip Kelly was different. Chip Kelly, obviously, at first he looked great, and I thought he looked great, but he coached to what he believed and his strengths and not to the player's strengths. So it's different in football. But in baseball, you put a guy out there, and, you know, it's a pretty basic game. You see the ball, you hit it, and you run. But if you miss it and you strike out, you're not going to be able to do some of those things. But for the ridiculousness of saying strikeouts don't matter, and I love people that say, well, it's still an out. It's still an out. No, it's not an out. Things can happen if you put the ball in play. And that's one of their problems. And that's a organizational philosophy. You know, the manager obviously is part of that, and he's bought into that, and he's doing that because that's what the organization wants. I don't want to run a game by a computer, and that's what the Phillies do. That's not just the manager. That's the front office, and everybody has bought into that. Throw your computers away. Players just got to go out and play the game. See the ball, hit it. Hit it. Don't miss it. Hit it and run. With two strikes, you should have a different approach. I don't think most of the Phillies hitters have a different approach. And that's all you have to say. And people want to blame the hitting coach. It's a philosophy of the organization. And that's a mistake. But it's not, the manager shouldn't be fired, because then you've given the players an out. And that's the worst thing you can do, is give the players an out. Because then they don't take responsibility for what's going on. I mean, they do, but you fire the manager, then they don't take responsibility. So we can talk about that. All this, not, well, you got to fire the manager. Listen, some of the moves, and I don't agree with some of the moves. And managers, The head coach or the manager, the guy in charge on the field in baseball, has the least to do with wins and losses. Obviously, football coaches have to make decisions with plays. Hockey coaches have to change. I mean, there's things you do with throughout the game on a quick basis. Same thing with basketball. You got to change things up, and you've got to do it, and you've got to be into the game. Baseball, you can just sit there back there and watch. When your players don't hit and your pitchers don't pitch, why is that the manager's fault? And I lost the locker room. How do you know you've not been in there? How do you know if he's lost the locker room? You haven't been in there. And so we'll talk about that today and get your feelings on that. And this nonsense, and it is nonsense, about Kawhi Leonard coming to the Sixers. You people are grasping at straws. And the media feeds this. Woj puts out, he says, and every all of a sudden everybody goes crazy. Well, Kawhi Leonard might was his word, might grant the Sixers an interview. That is so ridiculous, whether he does or he doesn't. It's just like that nonsense last year with LeBron. And aren't you happy you didn't get LeBron here? He would have screwed everything up. Well,
if Kawhi comes in person, then that's progress from the LeBron meeting last year.
Yeah, right. But here's the other thing, Tim. He's not going to come in person. They're going to have to go and meet him. So he'll have a day where he'll bring some teams in, and the Sixers might be one of them. But give me one good reason why Kawhi Leonard would come to the Sixers when his team played them and he knows that there's problems and they knew how to shut him down. Now, Kawhi Leonard would be better than what they have. There's no question. But if Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, it doesn't make any difference. So instead of doubling Joel Embiid, they double Kawhi Leonard. He knows what the problem is. Why would he come here? Why would he come here rather than stay with Toronto, who really has, when you really break it down, have better players, totally better players? Or go to the Clippers because it's a location. And the Clippers, if they sign two guys and one of them being Kawhi, the Clippers are going to be good, and obviously there's a chance in the West. So we'll talk about that. Last night's ceremony with Chase Utley, which was very nice, and the fans were really excited. And there was discussion in the press box, which Phillies have the best, or Philly, and I think it's Philly, has the best chance of making the Hall of Fame. Cole Hamels, remember he was a Philly, not anymore. Cole Hamels, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, or Ryan Howard. That was a discussion. I have my thoughts, and I will give them to you. And I want to talk about the NBA draft, which I think is a total farce. The NBA draft has become a total, total, total farce. And I'll explain to you why I think it's a total farce. And it's just the Sixers, they got another player, but so did everybody else get another player. Well, they got a defensive player. Well, that's great. But they still need somebody to be able to shoot the ball from the outside. We'll talk about, and we can talk about that. All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-729. A lot to talk about this morning. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, and if you have the same AT&T service that I have, it is #9494. And if you have Verizon, it is also #9494. A lot to talk about. I don't think Gabe Kapler should be fired, and I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've heard of, because then you've given the players an excuse. Kawhi Leonard, I just saw the people on Twitter when I told them it was a joke. People on Twitter, oh, yeah, well, you got a dream, and then you do this. Well, why wouldn't he come here? Well, I can give you 100 reasons why he wouldn't come here. I'll talk about the NBA draft being a joke and a farce. We'll get into all that. Obviously, start of the show, so we have some open lines. I'm Howard Eskin here on a wonderful Saturday morning when the Phillies have lost, what, seven of the last eight? I think they've lost, was it seven of the last eight? Whatever. They've lost a lot of games. Do you know the Phillies and the Marlins over the last, I think it's 30-some games, have the same record? The Phillies and the Marlins. The Marlins, you can't score. The Marlins are a better team than they were at the beginning of the season. They've gotten some decent pitching. But it is ridiculous to even think about that. And I don't know if one trade's going to make a difference for the Phillies. And I don't know, and I don't think that, well, they should have signed Dallas Keuchel. I don't know that that's going to make a difference for the, or would have made a difference for the Phillies. There's so many issues right now. And it's the manager, yes, has made some mistakes, but to want to fire the manager, I think you're way off base here, because then you have given the players their excuse. I'm Howard Eskin, WIP Sports Time now approaching. Nice passive music, just like the Phillies these days. All right, let's head right to the phones. Rick, you're on WIP. Yo, Rick. Was he listening to the radio in his car? It sounded like he was in his car. That's fine. Tom, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Just wanted to touch on last night's ceremony. I thought the Phillies did a real nice job putting that together, and real nice tribute to a hard-nosed, blue-collar player that this city really respects. I'm only 42, but I look at a player like that, and the type of baseball that was played just 10 years ago, and the game has just evolved to a point where you just don't see it. I mean, you don't see that kind of hard-nosed, player where it's, just go out, do your job, and grind. I think the Philly,
You don't see as many of those players. You do see that player. I mean, Bryce Harper he has not done anything wrong as far as his effort this year. Nothing. Obviously, you want more home runs. You want a better average. But the only thing that it's out of character for him or out of what he's done is he hasn't hit as many home runs. But his average is what it's always been. So he plays. There's players that play hard. So let's not indict everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe getting a little carried away.
No question what Chase Utley did. No question.
And to blame Kapler for what's going on. It is. I'll tell you what. If at the beginning of the year you said, "Hey, we're going to go out. We're going to sign Bryce Harper. We're going to get JT Realmuto. Segura. I mean, nobody's going to go, that's a bad move. This team's going to stink." Everybody was on board with what the Phillies did.
You can't do everything. They need another third baseman. The third baseman is terrible. Mikel Franco is just terrible. I could see that for years that he was terrible. He has little streaks. That's it.
I'd like to see what other organizations. I know the organizations are trending towards it. They're there with the analytics, but I'd like to see what other organizations are buying into this launch angle and get the ball in the air.
Well, a lot of them have. I mean, almost all the teams use analytics, but there's a few of the teams that I've heard have started, and they started early in the year, to back off making that the end-all be-all. And I think the Phillies make that the end-all be-all too much.
So I'd like to see the results of those teams as well. I know it's hard to quantify that exactly.
Well, people will say that Houston
successful at some other teams as well.
Well, people will say that Houston uses it. Houston has some really good players, so they may use it, but they have some really good players, and there's a difference there. And I don't know that, and I don't watch Houston all the time. They play in the American League, and they're on TV occasionally, but. I don't know if those guys are swinging up and worried about exit velocity and launch angle.
Last point, Howard, before I let you go. If Chase Utley breaks into the league in one, maybe two more years sooner, he's definitely a lead pipe lock for the Hall of Fame.
You can't say that. If Ted Williams hadn't gone in the service for 4 years, he'd have over 600 home runs when home runs weren't golf balls. They were actually baseballs. They're hitting golf balls now. These baseballs are so hard. It's so ridiculous. They've moved. They're using these baseballs in the minor leagues now, and home runs in AAA are now up too. The baseball's a golf ball, but so you could say a lot of things. If this guy had done this or not got hurt, that's not the case. I think Chase Utley was a terrific player for the Phillies. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's got less than 2,000 hits. He's got 269 home runs or something like that. He's 275.
How does he compare to Biggio, Howard?
Biggio had 3,000 hits. How's that for a comparison? Biggio had 3,000 hits. 3,000 hits. And Chase Utley has 1,800 and change. So, and Chase Utley was an average to above average defensive player, but he played hard, he played smart, and you can't replace all that, but that doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. And I asked the question earlier, who of those four players I mentioned has the best chance to get to the Hall of Fame? Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Cole Hamels, or Ryan Howard? All right, let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Hi.
Always a pleasure. I've listened to you way, way back as a little one on when you were on WWDB, man.
Okay.
You're the best. I have to say, it irritated me more than anything else when Kapler came out and said, after that hit, oh, I had a great launch. I mean, fans don't want to hear that garbage. I'm so sick of that, Howard. I mean,
But that's ridiculous. I don't know if he talked about the launch angle. It came off the bat at 112 miles an hour. Yeah, I don't even care. I don't care what it came off the bat.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't either. It was beyond annoying.
You swing hard, it's going to come off the bat hard. I don't really care. I don't really care.
Howard, don't the players have to have some responsibility? This is nonsense.
No. The players have to have most of the responsibility.
Right.
And if you fire the manager, then you've given the players an out. Like, it's not their fault. It is their fault.
You said it best. Yeah. Managers don't win games. They win games. They lose them.
They only lose them. That's correct.
They only lose them. That's the best point you can make. And it's such nonsense by Angelo trying to fire him over some I mean, the players have the responsibility is on them. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well,
you can't
the one thing, I don't have an agenda. I don't have an agenda. Let the other guys do what they want. I don't have an agenda.
I know.
Sometimes
and
you can tell when
that.
A guy has an agenda. So
I understand that.
Yeah.
It's like they just can't hit, Howard. I mean, it's like, and this team, this division, this Atlanta is a better team than the Phillies right now. Bottom line.
Well, they have better players.
They do. Top to bottom.
That's what it comes down to. They're a better team because they have better players. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Howard, how you doing?
I've never had a bad day in my life.
I've heard that.
Yes.
When you brought up who should make the Hall of Fame, I figured I have to call.
Okay.
Chase Utley, as you said, was a good player, maybe even a very good player.
Yes, very good player.
But he had under 2,000 hits.
Yep.
He had like 260 home runs. He had just a little bit over 1,000 RBIs.
Yep.
And he batted like 275. That's not a Hall of Famer.
No, it's not a Hall of Famer. And I don't want to hear him compared to other people. There's people that aren't in the Hall of Fame that have better numbers than Chase
Utley. Absolutely.
Chase Utley played as hard as anybody. And that's
Dade Vincent had much better numbers, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
That was brought up by one of the scouts there last night, talked about Lou Whitaker. And Lou Whitaker had better numbers, and Lou Whitaker's not in the Hall of Fame.
Ryan Howard didn't have 400 home runs.
No, Ryan Howard's not in there.
He's not in there. And the only one who has a shot is Jimmy Rollins. His numbers are comparable. To Ryan Sandberg and
I don't know that. I mean, and Cole Hamels, I looked up his wins. He's only got 160 some wins. Now, when he's done, if he gets over 200 wins, then he's got a chance because he's got 2,500 strikeouts.
But Schilling has over 200 wins, doesn't he?
Yes, slightly over 200.
And he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame either.
No, everybody looks at Schilling as no, but the wins are different now, and that's why. They've lowered the standards on pitchers just by the way they come in there. But Schilling, I don't think Schilling is a Hall of Famer. And
no,
I think
not.
He's close. But he's close. They say, well, look at his postseason. Well, I'm looking at his whole career. I'm not just looking at his postseason.
Yeah, you got to look at the whole career. Just like one of the hosts, and I'm not going to say who was on this station, said, Andre Iguodala belongs in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely not.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer. I think Andre Iguodala was an underrated player, and I think he was a very good player.
Very good player, but great defense. players don't get into the Hall of Fame.
That's
Hall
correct.
Hall of Fame is for outstanding people, Howard.
People get caught up in the moment.
He couldn't even start for Golden State, and he made one All-Star team, and somebody on your on this station wants to put him in the freaking Hall of Fame? Yeah, give me a break.
I really like Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
Yeah, he's a very good player, but he's not a Hall of Famer. No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
All right, thanks, Howard.
All right, you got it. Yeah, no, he's not a Hall of Famer. 94, WIP. All right, one of the things I'll talk about, there's a lot of things to talk about. A free agent that I think the Sixers would probably target, and you can target Kawhi Leonard all you want. You're not getting Kawhi Leonard. You're not getting Kawhi Leonard, all right? Just relax. People just have to relax because Woj says he might talk to the Sixers. Oh, all of a sudden, oh, Kawhi Leonard's going to come here. He ain't coming here, all right? And I don't know how the Sixers get better. They've got to re-sign Jimmy Butler, which I think they will. Have to give him a max contract, and Jimmy Butler's all about the money. He's all about the money. So he'll get more money here because he gets an extra year. I don't know about Tobias Harris, but there's some other things Sixers need to do. Because they're not going to be a better team. You don't know how many games Embiid's going to play. You don't know if Ben Simmons is ever going to make a 15-foot jump shot. He's the only player since the year 2000 that has shot 1,000 or more times and has not made a three-pointer. Only player in the NBA since the year 2000. It's ridiculous. But there's a lot of things they have to do to get better. And I'm going to tell you why I think the NBA draft has become a total farce. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. I'm Howard Eskin on a wonderful Saturday morning. Phillies play this afternoon. It's really amazing. How did they, Florida's not a bad team, but there's no way you can only score one run. Oh, it's just been brutal. But we'll talk about that, too. I see some Phillies, some people on the line want to talk about the Phillies. 94, WIP. They give you pound 9494 on AT&T and pound 9494 on Verizon, your cell phones. 888-729-9494. WIP Sports Time is now 8:38, and things are heating up maybe for the wrong reasons in Philadelphia. We know summer's here, so we know that's why it's getting warm. I don't know about the baseball team because they're not warm. However, I'm sure there's a lot of people like me can't wait to get their hands on Tasty Cake summer favorites. I'm talking about limited edition treats like Tasty Cake blueberry mini donuts, sweet rolls, s'mores candy cakes. And I have a lot of personal favorites, and one of them would be a lemon cheesecake baked pie. Doesn't get any more delicious, so do yourself a favor. Head down to your nearest store to make happy happen with some delicious Tasty Cake treats. Matter of fact, during this break, I'm going to go out to our display or our rack of Tasty Cakes here. I'm going to grab one. Follow Tasty Cake on Facebook and Instagram for more. Tasty Cake makes happy happen. WIP. All right, I'm going to tell you what I think about the NBA draft. It sucks. There's so many trades that go on, and then you can't announce the trades, and then you have a player put on a hat of a team you know he's not going to because a trade was made, but they're not allowed to announce. Why can't they announce it? If you're going to make a trade in the draft, you should be able to announce it. And the guy should put on the hat of the team, not that the hat's any big deal, but the first thing that identifies him is a team. The hat identifies his team, and he's not even on that team. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. That's one thing. That's a total, total, total joke. It's a joke, all right? Here's another thing. The NBA is now into making money. Teams are into making money in the draft. If you're going to sell all your second-round picks or sell a lot of them, then don't have a second round. Let guys just become free on the open market, and sign an unrestricted free agent. And that's what I think more and more teams are doing now. You figure if you've got anywhere, I guess, a third of the way through the second round or halfway through the second round, you can get the same player as an unrestricted free agent, sign him up to play on your summer league team, and you don't even have to have a second round. But all these teams, Sixers selling all their picks, they just want the money. They just want the money. Why have a draft if you're just going to sell your pick to somebody else and sell it in 2024 and 2025? All they're doing is selling picks. It's the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. The NBA draft has become a total farce. After you get by the first maybe 10 picks, it's a joke. It's a joke. And to sell these picks in the second round is a complete farce. You have a pick. Make a rule that you can't sell the pick. You got to draft a player, and if you don't like him, you cut him. And somebody else will sign him if they like him. It's a joke. All they do is care about making money. That's what it's come down to. And I think the Sixers are part of, that guy's not going to make our team. Just sell the pick. Just sell the pick. It's selling for over $1 million. It's $1 million. $1 million. Right, let's go to George. George, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm terrific. It's another day in paradise for me.
I know. I'm sitting down here watching the ocean. It is a nice day down here.
Oh, that's nice. So what part of the shore are you at?
North Wallet.
Oh, okay.
North Wallet.
All right, enjoy
Harper it. Inlet. Yeah. Hey, I want to say something, then I'll call you back in a year from now and see if you agree with me, and you'll remember. I am of the opinion that the Harper trade...
Harper was not a trade, it was a free agent signing.
Okay, I'm sorry, you're right. The signing of Harper will be the worst signing decision Billy's history. Worst in their history. And I'll call you back next year and we'll see. I didn't think it was going to show up this early, but it's not going to be fun for the next, 13 years?
You know what, I think they were a good team, or I thought they were a good team, before they signed Harper, and they would have been the same team whether they signed. That's one thing that's correct.
Bingo! Yeah. Bingo!
They would have, but he's got a long time here. He's got to hit home runs. He's not going to hit for average. He's not going to hit for average, and people have to reduce those expectations, but he's got to hit home runs, and that's the problem.
But his percentage is growing.
Well, he didn't strike out last night, so he had five at-bats, and he didn't strike out.
Good.
One of the things that I will say, even though he has struggled offensively, he has played hard, and that you have to give him. He has played hard,
I wonder how many kids it would play hard for $30 million a year.
Well, it's $25 million a year. It's 25.
Okay.
Million.
I thought it was 30.
No, that's why they. That's why over 13 years, it's $25 million a year. They would not give.
Oh, my God.
They won't
I'm
give
sorry.
Him. Yeah, they will not get. They would not have given him $30 million a year. And they were dug in for that. That was never going to happen.
Okay.
That's why they threw the 3 years on the end. But I don't know that they have enough money. I don't know that that's going to make a difference right now, because they're still, after this year, I think Rendon is a target, the third baseman for Washington, because they need a third baseman. And I think they will go hard after Rendon. They need a third baseman badly, badly. So if Scott Kingery can play one position, he doesn't have to play multiple positions. You can't do that. And then maybe somewhere along the line they'll trade Hernandez and put Kingery back at second base.
Howard, there's a lot of good pitchers, really good pitchers, coming into free agency the end of this year.
Yeah, I don't know who they are, but they're going to...
Well, the two best from Houston are leaving. Two best.
Who is that?
So I can't think of their names right now, but I just read an article where the two best Houston pitchers, starters, are going into free agency.
Well, they're not going to lose both of them. Yeah, they have to sign they have to try to get a third baseman, whatever way they do it. And yes, they could use a starting pitcher. And we'll determine on how much of the middle relief they need when we see when these pitchers come back from injury.
I think he read an old article because Verlander already signed an extension.
Okay, so it's not
Verlander. Garrett Cole is who's going to be available.
Okay, so that's one. You know what? I don't know that I'd go crazy over Garrett Cole. He's a really nice pitcher, but I don't know if I'd go crazy over him. There could be some trades. I think eventually you're going to have to trade Hernandez. I like Hernandez as a player, but he's too hot and cold. And you got to put King. Kingery's got to play one position. He's a second baseman. Put him at second base. And then they got to find an outfielder. McCutchen will be back, but I don't know if he'll be back at McCutchen level at the beginning of the season, because it takes a long time to come back from those injuries. And at his age, that's a tough thing too. So they have to find, they have to get an outfielder. They have to do some things at the end of the year. And I still expect they will do some things before the trade deadline. They have to make a decision whether they really have a chance because of this lineup. Jay Bruce was a nice acquisition. They didn't give up anything for him. But the reason he hits 220 is because he's streaky and he'll hit some home runs. But it was a nice acquisition. But he's not a starting everyday outfielder. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, King, what's happening, pal?
You tell me.
I am very upset with the Phils. I've been a fan since the mid-70s. I'm 53 years old. I actually played amateur baseball for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at times I struggled. And, you know, you make adjustments. That's what sports is about. And if you watch these players, very little bit, is adjusting. They're going for, it's like a home run derby constantly.
They're hitting a golf ball. It's baseball has made the home run almost just more than an everyday occurrence. There'll be more home runs by far this year than any year in Major League Baseball history. And it's a golf ball. There was a player, who was it for, Texas last night, hit a 500 and some foot home. I think there were two players that hit home runs yesterday over 500 sure. feet. It's ridiculous. It's a golf ball. And the bats are harder. You can't even see grain in the bats anymore because they press the wood so much. The bats are hard. The baseballs are golf balls. And you don't even have to hit it on – you don't even have to – I love the new term now. You don't even have to barrel it to hit a home run. Somebody last week hit a home run with a broken bat. He broke his bat and hit a home run.
You
can tell when they hit it. They hit it down on the bat. They don't hit it off the they don't center it up on the fat part of the bat, and they hit home runs. The home runs have become a joke.
It's funny you said that because was it yesterday or day before yesterday, Reese hit this ball, and he hardly tapped it, and it went to him into the warning track. And I mean, it was one hand, and I was like, how did he hit it that far with one hand? I'm like, a juiced bat, juiced ball. That's why.
Well, they don't like to use the term juice, but the bats are harder. They're pressed harder, and so they're harder.
They're really hard, man.
It's like going from a wood in golf to a metal wood. You're going to hit it longer.
Well, the old bats are old bats, the aluminum bats. In between, you have these composite bats that are – I have a bamboo bat. It's so hard. I've used it in the batting cage. It doesn't break. If you look at old videos of Schmidt, and they took this launch angle. What got me into baseball, I was about 10 years old, and I watched Schmitty hit this. We're homers in Chicago. And I went back and you know, recently just to check it out. And you can look at his angle of his swing. He swings level, and he's still hitting
it. You know,
it
Mike Schmidt's approach, and I appreciate the call. Mike Schmidt's approach, and have a great weekend. And I heard him, it was one of the most fascinating conversations I heard. He and Ted Williams were in a room for an hour and a half together. They were at the first 500 home run show, and it was back in 1989 in Atlantic City. So I'm in the room, and I'm listening to Mike Schmidt and Ted Williams talk about hitting, completely opposite approaches. Mike would always hit down on the baseball because the backspin is what they looked at for the ball to travel. It's the backspin on the ball. And he would try to hit down through the ball. You know, and in essence, you think, well, that's a line drive. But the ball had lift to it because it had backspin. That's when home runs were really home runs. He led the league three times with 30-some home runs. It's not the way it is today. I mean, Yelich will have 30-some home runs by the All-Star break. It's unbelievable. but it's a golf ball. And then Ted Williams, and I think partly because of Fenway Park, would hit up on the ball because he could play wall ball with the Green Monster in left field. And he still hit home runs. But they had completely different approaches. But Mike Schmidt's hitting is down through the ball. And when you try to hit a line drive, a lot of times you're going to hit one, but you're going to hit it out of the park as well. He didn't worry about launch angle and all this other nonsense that's going on these days. It really is a different approach. But it's just, you know, they're screwing up the game with analytics. They're screwing up the game. They're screwing up the players. They're screwing up the game. And I'm going to play a bite. I want people to comment. You have that bite ready, Tim Kapler? I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to comment on this, and then I'll talk about it on the other side. Go ahead. All right, now he's talking about, somebody asked him about the hitting coach, and I you can't blame him either. There's no staff in baseball that works harder than ours. Well, you don't know that. You don't know the other staffs. So if I have a problem with Gabe Kapler, he goes overboard. Can't say our staff works really, really hard. And that's it. It's not better than any in baseball or as good as any, because you don't know what the other coaching staffs do. But everybody wants to blame everybody. I blame the players. And we'll talk about that. And I also, when I come back, I'm going to tell you a free agent that I think the Sixers will target and really have a chance to get. And it's somebody that they do need. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, whether it's a service that I've been using for a long, long time, AT&T, #9494, or on Verizon, #9494. WIP Sports Time, 857. 94, WIP, hour number two, and to reset it, and I mentioned in the first hour, I don't agree with everything Gabe Kapler has done. I think he should have benched Gene Segura. I don't agree with all his moves, but there's so many other things that the Phillies aren't doing. To want to fire the manager is ridiculous. You, by doing that, you give the players an out. And they, well, it's not our fault, it's the manager's fault. The players have to be responsible. And when you fire the manager in the middle of the season, now at the end of the year, they'll look at it, they'll evaluate it, and they'll go over everything. And there's a better time to make a judgment at the end of the season. And then there's more people available if you want to change managers. But to fire him now is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And when people say, well, he's lost the locker room, for people, and the people that say that have never set foot in the Phillies locker room. And not that when you set foot, but you get a little bit of a sense if you're in that locker room, and I'm in there, I would say mostly every day, you get no sense if you're not in there. So you have no right to say that they've lost the locker room when you haven't been in there. The players just, it's a player's responsibility to hit. You can't always say it's the manager. So I, for one, and you know I've not been a Gabe Kapler fan all along. This year, he's got players you would think would create less lineup changes. He's got to do something now, and I have no problem with him changing it. I don't agree with all the pitching changes. You don't have much of a bullpen, a middle relief, but starters aren't pitching or inconsistent. But that's the last thing that I would worry about is firing the manager right now. Talked about Kawhi Leonard and the ridiculousness that everybody gets carried away with because Woj said he might talk to the Sixers. Well, LeBron wasn't even at that meeting last year when the Sixers had a meeting. LeBron wasn't even at the meeting. So when you say he might talk, there might be a day that the agent sets up to have different teams come in, but I don't know that Kawhi Leonard's even going to be there. And it's ridiculous. Why would Kawhi Leonard come here rather than stay in Toronto or go to the Clippers? They both have a better chance to win, and they will both be better teams, and the Clippers will be better if they would sign him and another free agent. So we I talked about that. I've already told you a short time ago, I think the NBA draft is a joke. Everybody's selling picks. It's all about the money now. If you're not going to take your second-round pick, then don't have a second round. That's another thing. And if you want to put a cap on what second-round players can make, then you can do that. Or it's not guaranteed anyway. I think that's a joke. Of the four players, which one has the best chance to make the Hall of Fame? Chase Utley, and it was people loved Chase Utley, and I understand why he played hard. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, with 1,800 hits, you're not a Hall of Famer. But he played hard. He had six really good years, and then after that, he was a nice player. Played hard. Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, or Cole Hamels? Which one do you think has the best chance of making the Hall of Fame? And I will tell you this, and I said I would let you know who I think the Sixers will go after. Forget about Kawhi Leonard. You know, all this nonsense. They're not going to sign any of the top guys. I think they've got to keep Jimmy Butler. But I think I've heard, let's put it this way, I've heard that they will make a run at Toronto's Danny Green. They need a shooting guard. They need a shooting. J.J. Redick is a nice, he's a backup player. He doesn't play defense well. He's inconsistent with his shot. I think they will re-sign J.J. Redick as a backup. I know he'd like to stay on the East Coast. I don't think Brooklyn or the Knicks want him. And if he's going to stay on the East Coast, then he's going to have to stay with the Sixers. And he won't make as much money, but he'll be a backup. But I have been told Danny Green is a free agent that I know the Sixers have interest in, and he's a shooting guard. And that's exactly one of the things that they need. So we can talk about those things, a lot of things to talk about, setting it up again. All right, let's go back to the phones. Jim, you're on WIP.
Howard, how are you?
I've never had a bad day in my life, Jim.
I know, I love that line. It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday. You know whose birthday is today? Today's the 22nd. Yesterday, and I like Kevin Harlan, the play-by-play guy. You know who Kevin Harlan is, right?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yesterday was his birthday. As a matter of fact, I got to remember to send him a happy birthday.
But he wasn't 67 years old. Do you believe I made 67 years?
Well, I don't know you well enough, but in today's world, and you know, I feel sorry for people. I feel more than sorry. I have compassion for people with cancer, that are fighting cancer, that are fighting diseases. And today our life expectancy should be longer without, and I always get my checkups and do all the things to make sure, but health is the most important thing. And 67 is a young age in today's world. I am the millennial's choice, even though I'm not a millennial. See, my son thinks he's a millennial. But he's out of that era. So he thinks he's a millennial. You know, I don't call him Spike because that's not the name that he was given at birth.
Obviously.
Yeah, so no, who would call him Spike? But I know the story behind that too. But reality, he thinks he's a millennial, and he's not. But I am the millennial's choice. And obviously, when you're in your 60s, they say, oh, you can't relate. I have more young people or younger people come up to me and tell me, they either listen to me or people in their 30s and 40s that say they've been listening to me because their father listened to me, whatever. I am hashtag the millennial's choice. All right. So don't worry about 67. It's young these days.
Well, I'm on my way to see my grandsons play soccer, so it doesn't get any better than this.
That's great.
But I wanted to tell you something. Now, the way you spoke to me just now, you can be absolutely charming, and there's no doubt about it. But some of the people that call, Howard, you can get a little rough with these guys. You got to go easy on these folks that don't know too much about sports.
Well, but here's the thing I will tell you, and here's the thing. I try to be informative and entertaining. I mean, that's what we do on the air. And you can do both, but I try not to just go off half-cocked, and now the whole world is about hot takes. Well, if I have a hot take, I actually believe it, and I just don't say it to say it. But you can do those things. But when people they disagree with me, that's fine. But when I try to educate them and they go off so half-cocked, that's when they might be a nitwit, a moron, or a dope.
And I can tell when you're getting pissed off and your level is just rising and rising, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to get it. Howard's going to call this guy a moron or a dope.
Hey, wait a minute. Some people talk about that years later and say it's a badge of honor.
You're a dope. I'm like, oh, I cringe sometimes when you get But anyway,
some people are dopes. Some people are dopes.
I wanted to talk to you about something. Ask you obviously this is a dumb question, but I think you might be able to give me some insight on it. Just say, for example, that I'm a second baseman for the Phillies, and according to my numbers, I'm the fourth-ranked player in the league.
Yep.
Okay? Are you with me?
Yeah, okay. So far, I don't know where you're going, but go ahead.
It's not that difficult, right? So I look at all the other players, and I look at what they're making, and I say, you know what? I should be making what these guys are making. When my contract comes up, I'm going to ask for this much money, and I'm going to give the Phillies a 10% discount because I don't have an agent. So my question to you is, what do these agents do for this money?
Well, in baseball, it's wide open. In basketball, it's not, because you have set contracts. If you're a max player, you're a max player. If you're not, then you negotiate a little bit. When you come out in the draft, it's pretty well already designated what the money is going to be in almost every sport. The first round's already locked in. Second round, you have a really good idea. David Robertson, the Phillies pitcher, negotiated himself, and he saved whatever percentage that agent would have gotten. I think players want the agents to do the dirty work, so they say, well, like LeBron. LeBron dictates what the agent does, but he can say, well, that wasn't me. You know, and his agent, who I don't like a little bit because that's his company, he's got a part of that company, Clutch Sports. They have too many people. They're trying to, the Lakers are going to be represented by the same. All of them are going to be represented by the same agent eventually. And I think that's a mistake. I saw a story where he was flying on their team plane, which is that's because of LeBron. But it takes the player out of saying, well, that wasn't me. Well, it is him. I don't know. They just do the dirty work. I didn't use an agent for the last probably 15 years of my career. I use an attorney to check the contract. I had decent experiences with them and some bad experiences. I said, I don't need an agent. I know what I'm worth. I know what they want to pay, and I can work it out. And there's things that I know that I need in the contract or not need in the contract, and I'm okay with it. And it's easier to deal with the people. They can tell you, well, you suck. Okay, I suck. Well, then don't sign me, and I'll just go somewhere else. That's all. I mean, you know what you're worth. So I don't like – and when Sports Illustrated put that agent on the cover, Clutch Sports, which is LeBron's agent, put him on the cover, that was a mistake. These guys think they have too much power. I don't like them either. I don't like Scott Boras. There's a lot of guys that I don't like. So.
No, I obviously I don't think they're necessary, but
well,
that's the world we live in.
They have marketing, and I appreciate the call, Jim. Have a great weekend. Marketing guys, they go out and find business for them, so I understand that. All right, let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, just wanted to say about this whole Harper thing. I mean, people need to calm down. I mean, we've had a 7-year sample size of this guy. We know what he is. I mean, if you watch him, I mean, people sold the contract to me, thought he's going to hit a home run every time he comes up. He's streaky. The thing you're getting with him is hustle, effort. He's aggressive on the bases, and sometimes that bites you when you're aggressive on the bases. But this is what they're paying for. I mean, people that think he's going to come here, he's not the...
No, they're paying for home runs. They're paying for home runs. And
I mean,
he's not like... You know, unfortunately for him, the expectations were set too high. I heard people say, well, he's going to hit 50 home runs in this ballpark. No, he's not.
No.
I mean, it's ridiculous to think that. The over-under in Las Vegas for his home runs were 32.5. And because it was set what I think was too low, I would have taken the – and I said this before the season. I would have taken the under because the expectations were so high. Now, he needs to hit home runs, but he's playing hard. Everybody gets paid too much in sports.
I mean, I don't feel the panic. Also, I wanted to ask you about the – I mean, I'm about the same age as you, so I mean,
there's other guys in that lineup that need to do a better job too. He's not the only one.
Well, the relief pitching is awful. I mean, the
middle relief, is inconsistent. But Real Muto, who I know is a really, really good catcher, it's not produced the way I know the Phillies expected him to. Forget about everybody else. The Phillies expected him to do more. And Segura's fallen off the face of the earth,
and
he's a good player.
How many times have you seen guys first year on a team, they kind of you know, find their level. And then, you know, the second year, you know, everything kind of gels. I mean, that might be something.
Yeah, we'll
I wanted to ask you about Butler, though.
Yep.
Because I follow what you say. I follow you on Twitter. And when I hear from you, like, I kind of take it as gospel. He's such an enigma. I mean, he doesn't give any hints. I mean, he throws things that people perceive as one thing or another. I mean, I think it's vital to get him back.
Here's what I think he's doing. The reality is the Sixers just don't want to go out and say, Jimmy, here's a max contract. I think they want to wait for everybody else, and that's fine. And Jimmy Butler's trying to and his agent's doing the same thing, trying to create a market. Now, there certainly is a market for Jimmy Butler. And if he gets the max somewhere else, that's only 4 years. If he gets the max from the Sixers, that's 5 years. So he will make more money from the Sixers, but he's trying to create, I don't want to call it an illusion, but he's trying to create a market for himself so the Sixers are forced to pay him the max. And
but
I think that's what's going
to
happen. They're going to pay him the max because they need him. Even with him, I don't know that they'll – Tobias Harris wants the max too, but he's not going to get it from the Sixers.
But with Butler, I mean, it hasn't always been about money. I mean,
whoa. That's what he says. And his agent told me, because he said that on an ESPN interview, and when he came to the Sixers, I asked him about that. I said, Jimmy, you said it's not about money. It's about winning. So, and he reiterated that at his news conference with the Sixers. And his agent saw me within the next week, and he says, let me tell you something. Jimmy can say what he wants. It's about money.
It's money.
All right? And his agent was very honest with me. It's about money. And Jimmy Butler is going to take the money, and that's why I think he's going to be back with the Sixers.
Before you let me go, can you just do one thing? Can you just hit me with a genius? That's my favorite.
You got to tell me something that makes you a genius.
Bryce Harper's going to hit a home run every time he comes to bat.
Okay, genius. All right. See you later.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. How about if he hits one a game? How about if he hits one every three games? It's not just him. It really is not just him. And people look at that and they get carried away. It's not just him. But this offense, the expectations were way too high by almost everybody. Way too high. I don't know why they're scoring so few runs. Well, you look at the results, but why is Real Muto not hitting? It's hitting 270. Oh, it's a 270 something. But you
265
expect, now. Oh, 265. So you expected him to hit better than that with some home runs. Segura has fallen off the face of the earth. I never expected Mikel Franco to do it. He started off great. Now, oh, look at Mikel Franco. He stinks, all right? Sucks. He's overrated defensively because he's got no range. And offensively, he's just not a good hitter. They have got to get another third baseman. What a coulda, shoulda, maybe could have happened. If they had gotten Yelich when they were looking at Yelich in a trade, then they could have signed. If they had Yelich, they wouldn't have needed Harper because then they had a left-hander in the lineup. They could have done the other things and then gotten Machado. How much better would they have been? Hindsight is great. It's not reality, but it's great. If you looked at that, you had Yelich in right field and Machado at third base, and I don't know if that Machado would have come here. And Machado at third base, how much better would this team be right now? I know Machado is not burning it up offensively, but his defense would be so much better. You'd have a steady third baseman, a right fielder that would hit. It would change the whole line. But you can't look. I can look back, but it's probably unfair that you look back in hindsight. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, you're on that AT&T service, which I know a lot of people are. It's #9494. And on Verizon, #9494. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 9:20. Things are heating up in Philadelphia. That's the weather. Summer's here. And a lot of people I know just love the Tasty Cake summer favorites. I know I do. I'm talking about limited edition Tasty Cakes like blueberry mini donuts, sweet rolls, great. S'mores candy cakes, great. One of my personal favorites, and I've got a lot of them, lemon cheesecake baked pies. all great. It doesn't get any more delicious. So do yourself a favor. Head down to your nearest store to make happy, happy. You're driving around. You want to get a cup of coffee? We'll get some Tasty Cake with it. And you can get some delicious Tasty Cake treats at a lot of places. Follow Tasty Cake on Facebook and Instagram for more. Tasty Cake makes happy happen. '94 WIP on a sunny Saturday. The day after Chase Utley night. And why you brought the guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia? I never watched that show, so I don't even care. I could care less that the guy caught Chase Utley's first pitch. Like, who cares? Chase Utley being there is what it was all about. And the people were really excited to see him. And they should be, but I don't want to take anything away from Chase Utley because he played very, very, very hard. He played hard, never gave up an at-bat, never gave up on anything, and he played hard. But of the players with a chance to make the Hall of Fame, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, or Cole Hamels, who has the best chance? It's probably not Chase Utley or Ryan Howard. As good as he was, his numbers just weren't good enough. But when we talk about numbers, here's the guy that talks about numbers all the time, and there's a reason for it. They mean nothing. But Chuck, what do you have for us today?
apparently nothing. What could I possibly have after that?
Well, as long as they're not numbers, if you have an opinion, that's fine.
Yeah, well, you know, we can have a lot of opinions and we can look at the numbers, but it's going to go back to, we said this last week, we'll probably say it next week. Their run production right now is 17th in baseball. That's not good enough. And their pitching drops every week. We talk about trends. Go all the way back after the first month where they were 8th in pitching. They're 16th. You know, 4.50 ERA is not going to win enough. And you take your leadoff hitter out in the cutchin, there are 5 runs per game with him. That's not bad. That puts you in the top 5, by the way. And without him, you're a run less per game. So I say to you, if you take out your leadoff hitter, I think OBA was about 368, and makes everybody better below him. As you know, you put that lineup together, Howard, you can pack it. And by the way, I don't think Cap's making the lineup out right. I have a problem with Kingery shifting gears here, batting 6. He gets a double last night. Wouldn't it have been nice to be in back of Hoskins, who has 3 hits last night, and you maybe score that second run? You can't take a hitter.
You know why he did that?
I'm going to say he's going with his left-right thing all the way through without
You know why he did it? Because of analytics.
Go ahead.
Analytics is ruining the game. You know, baseball people have a feel for it.
I hear this every week. Let me tell you something, Howard. I'm not going off on this show, and I respect you and all this stuff. But let me tell you something. If you want to paint with the Howard Eskin broad brush every week that analytics is the sole reason, first of all,
I'm not saying that's the sole reason.
Let's get that clear. The game's not ruined. So we'll remove that from the
conversation. Okay, you know why it's ruined?
Okay,
you know, it's not a bro. You know
what's
why it's ruined? Because
you
the game's ruined because it's too long. It's too long Gabe Kapler, the reason he put Harper and Hoskins at the top is because, and this is his quote, the thought process is we feel like we're more successful when we see pitches in the first inning. It doesn't mean we have to get hits. Wait a minute. He says it doesn't mean we have to get hits. What's the game all about?
All right. We agree. You know,
what does that mean? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
We kill each other, then we agree on the next 2 points, and we kill each other. It's hilarious. But Kingery can't bat 6. We agree.
But it's based on his computer. Give me a hiatus, blackout of computers for a week. Let baseball people, if they really are and I don't want to fire Kapler, so let me get that straight.
But
let baseball people be baseball people.
Look at the game, get a feel, and then
do it that way.
I hear you. Let's play off of that. We talked the 2 quick points, and please let me talk on the Hall of Fame before we hang up. And I do have the stat of the week for you.
I wouldn't
disappoint you on that. I got one that's going to spin your head at the end, so keep me alive for that.
Okay.
Let's talk baseball people.
if Harper's going to have his worst year ever, because that's exactly where he's tracking right now, but it's going to be full season when I say that. He had a shorter year that was worse. He played 100 games, but this looks like 155-plus. So for full season Harper, we're looking at by far, because he's about to go below 800 OPS, you're hitting more than 800 OPS, okay? That is like in baseball, he's outside the top 200 in WAR. And by the way, if you don't believe WAR is exactly accurate, Trout has a 15 WAR the last 2 years.
Well, Trout is the best player in baseball. So wins above replacement, you look at your replacement. So what is their replacement? So he obviously is wins above replacement. Who's the other right fielder?
Check this out. Trout's a 15
WAR.
Stick
WAR up, you know where.
And Harper's 1.5. How's that compare? So Harper's killing us with his
Harper is not playing at the expectations that he was supposed to play. But the expectations should have been 245 to 250. But the expectations should have been more home runs. I think people were correct. Not 50 home runs, not 40-some home runs, but should have more home runs.
Let's not make light of that. When you adjust his home runs from 12 to 20, those 8 home runs, you're picking up 2 or 3 more wins perhaps in that span. So it's not like you say you just should have more home runs. It's a big deal when in the OPS number. That drives everything because you know baseball people.
Okay,
you know
I'll buy that. But guys have to go out there and produce. They've got to produce.
Okay, now, when you watch Kingery, and I think you're going to get this answer, Howard. I'm going to give you credit in advance. When you watch Kingery, this is not a technical question. I'm not gaming you here. What's the one thing that's noticeable that Kingery's doing different this year than last year? And it's very obvious, and I'll give it to you. I won't hang up on this. Kingery's looking for the first good strike and going after it. All right? Other players are still, trying to grind. Now, the Phillies,
I think Harper is swinging at more first pitches because he knows the first pitch, the pitchers know that they're taking them, so they're throwing first pitch strikes. I think Harper at times is going after.
You're right. He's adjusted that. Now, here's the problem. Sitting back at home plate where we were last night in Diamond Club, when you look at his lift on everything, Howard, he's trying to hit everything out.
His swing is just no wonder he has 112 miles per hour off the bat. He swings so hard. One of my other problems with the Phillies, and that's why it was at Brian McCann when he won the game for the Braves, with two strikes, he just tried to make contact. The Phillies enough of that. That's not their approach.
Here's your stat of the week that I'm going to talk Hall of Fame. I'll take 30 seconds to do that. Who has a higher WAR right now, J.P. Crawford or Bryce Harper? Because you know the answer is obvious.
Because you asked me that, J.T. Crawford.
Yeah.
Okay.
0.7, 0.5.
Okay, and I'm going to throw something.
J.P. Crawford.
Okay, I'm going to throw something at you. Chuck.
Throw a fastball.
Can the Phillies go 56-31, which is a .644 winning percentage the rest of the year?
Not the way they're structured.
Okay. You predicted 90. You predicted 95 wins. They have to go 56 and 31 to get there.
Yeah, probably not happening. Now listen, when we look at any model, let's go back. When I said that on face value, did we have our leadoff hitter in there?
Did you expect the Yankees to be as good as they are with 18 injuries? I don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear about it because everybody has injuries. So don't use that as an excuse. Don't you? You wanted Kimbrel. That's not their problem. Their middle relief, their starting pitching, and their offense is their problem. That's the problem.
In your monologue today, you mentioned that the Phillies, one of the Phillies' big problems is their pitching. You're correct about that?
Yes.
So if you put Kimbrel in there, and you can extend your 8-9 with another
Neris. Neris has only blown one save. Stop with the Kimbrel stuff.
You need more than that.
I want to see what happens when the pitchers come back. Now, they need a middle bullpen. But I don't, and I'm not a Kimbrel fan anyways. That's not their problem. Kimbrel is not their problem. Give me your Hall of Fame. Give me your Hall of Fame.
Real quick, if you're not a fan of somebody, they're not going to earn back your graces. I can tell you that.
I don't think they need that. But give me your Hall of Fame. Give me your Hall of Fame.
Who's the only Philly that had the highest OPS? This is modern time. I'm not going to make Chuck Mana, but the highest OPS, which is huge OPS. We know that. Okay? 8 times 100 RBIs, 8 times 100 runs. Now, I'm going to say it one more time. highest OPS. Now, Schmidt's in this deal now. Schmidt is in this conversation. Eight times with 100 ribbies.
Okay, well, Schmidt.
Eight times with
100. Well, right, Schmidt is the guy, and then you're going to tell me Bobby Abreu. Well, I can't wait.
It is Bobby Abreu, okay? So now listen. Now listen. Let me finish with this. 4,000 times on base. Now, if you want to compare that to the other guy,
I'll tell you what. Here's what I saw with Bobby Abreu.
He had great numbers.
Yes. But he didn't want to be up in a tie or a one-run game in the eighth or ninth inning. Because all he did, and he had really good back control. I mean, coaches told me this, and I watched this. He would foul pitches off until he could get a walk because he didn't want to be the guy that had to get the hit. And then when he went to the Yankees, instead of batting high, and he wouldn't bat leadoff. The Phillies wanted to try him at leadoff because he had a good on-base percentage. He wouldn't do it because he didn't want that pressure. And batting third, he didn't want that pressure. But when he went to the Yankees, he batted sixth, and he was buried in the lineup. So it all looked good. But I watched him. And see, that's baseball knowledge. That's the eye test.
I gave you the stats of the players. That's all I did. Okay. I didn't say Bobby Abreu should be in the Hall of Fame. No. What I did was give you – you gave me four players. I entered a fifth guy to the conversation. But the fifth guy dwarfs everybody but Schmidt.
But he's not. He's got no shot.
He has no shot.
I don't think Chase Utley has a shot either, but in Philadelphia, think so. And I don't think Ryan Howard has a shot either, but we think so.
Howard, he doesn't have enough bats. 6,000 bats to get off it. Hey, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. I had to let Chuck have it. He predicted the Phillies would have 95 wins. So right now, based on their record, and there's only 162 games to get to 95, the Phillies have to go 56-31. I love Chuck. But he used analytics to determine that the Phillies would get 95 wins this year. And I don't want to hear about injuries. Every team has injuries. And there's no question that McCutchen has hurt his injury. That has hurt. But I don't give me injuries. You know, when I saw the amazing thing, and the Yankees are amazing. They are amazing. All those injuries. And their record is... I understand that, the third best in baseball? Are you kidding me? They're like 19 or 20 games over 500. It's unbelievable. So I don't want to hear about injuries. That's an excuse. And when I watch baseball, it's an eye test. I know what the numbers are, and I know what a guy's hitting, and I know that you should walk certain guys, and all that other nonsense. And it's nonsense. It's nonsense. To use a computer... Get rid of computers for a week and just show me your baseball knowledge by watching the players. Just watch them. See what they do. And then you determine what you do based on an eye test, not on a computer chart. Oh, my gosh. It just drives me crazy. And, you know, Matt Klentak, and he said it half kiddingly, and I like Matt Klentak. I really do. I really do like Matt Klentak a lot. I think he's done a good job. Everybody could do a better job, but I think he's done a good job. And he called me a dinosaur when I mentioned analytics. That's fine. Call me a dinosaur. I am the millennial's choice. WIP, when we'll get to the calls. WIP Sports Time is 939. 94, WIP, Howard Eskin, the millennial's choice. I just try to keep it real. I know there's some millennials that don't like to keep it real. But they want to hear somebody that does keep it real. And that's what I do. I told you about Ben Simmons a long time ago. I would have traded him in last offseason for Kawhi Leonard. How would that have worked out? Pretty darn good, huh? But I'm a visionary as well. So I can see what's not going to change. And by looking at these players and being around these guys, not all the time, but a lot of the time, you can kind of, by talking to people, you can kind of see where they're going. Ben Simmons needs to change things, and I don't want to get on this Ben Simmons kick, but he needs to change things, and this is my opinion, and we'll see if I'm wrong or right. I don't think he will when it comes to a jump shot. He's going to play in the FIBA games for Australia, so he'll get to the basket, he'll score a lot of points, and everybody will think it'll be great. Oh, it's great. Look at all the points he's scoring. Yeah, it's great. Okay, get a jump shot. And as I mentioned earlier, from what I've heard, the Sixers, forget about Kawhi Leonard. That's just, it's a farce and a joke. He's not coming here. A free agent that they are targeting, and he would fit in, would be Danny Green from Toronto. Shooting guard. They need a shooting guard. Redick can come off the bench. I know he's a free agent, and they can re-sign him. And he, they won't give him as much money, come off the bench, and I think he would take it. But Danny Green would be an addition. Does it make him a little bit better? Yeah, it makes him a little bit better. Obviously, they have to re-sign Butler. And Tobias Harris wants a max. If he gets a max somewhere else, God bless him. But he's not going to get it here. Ray, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
How are you?
I'm great. Except I'm a Phillies fan. I didn't realize that the Phillies had the first pick in every round of the 2016 draft, and the only person that's been able to matriculate through the minor leagues and
what
get
do you mean
the
every Phillies. Every they had the, oh the first pick you mean every round they had the
in
first
every
pick.
Round
oh,
they
okay.
had the first pick in the yeah, first round they were the worst first pick team. In the second yeah. yeah and the only guy that's been able to make it to the major leagues is Cole Irvin, and he is a little more than a batting practice pitcher for the rest of the National League.
Yeah, I think there's some other guys that I don't know about that draft. I guess what's it? Bohm was just moved up. I think to double A.
Yeah, but he was. Yeah, that, he was.
It was
not
another
in
draft.
That draft.
Yeah, it was not in that draft. Yeah, I'm not saying yeah. that draft. Mickey Moniak. You know, it didn't start off well, but I've been told by a couple of Phillies people who I trust think he's going to be a good player. He's got to hit for some more power, especially if he's an outfielder. So I think they project him, and he's gotten better. Well, we'll see how much he's gotten better, because he's going to have to be in the big league sometime in the next 2 years, or it's a failure. So their farm
right.
system
They're
is not
them.
their farm system is not very good. Is it better? I don't know that it's better. It's just, but it's not good enough to produce the guys that you need to win. I mean, Scott Kingery obviously came from their farm system. I'm trying to think of any. Reese Hoskins came from their farm system, but that was some years ago. And I'm trying to think of any else that came from their farm system that really is going to make them a better team. And I don't see anybody. There's maybe some, and Aaron Nola, obviously, Pivetta, Eflin. But Eflin wasn't. I think Eflin was a trade. I think that was a trade
yeah,
with San Diego.
Yeah, they got him from Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah, they got him from San Diego. Yeah,
and
so Eflin wasn't part of the system.
They got him from Washington.
Who?
They got Pivetta from Washington.
Okay, so that wasn't part of their farm system. Yeah,
right,
so
right.
it's just, yeah, so they've got to do something with their farm system.
Well, and most of the people that you're talking about, as a matter of fact, I think all of them were college players, and the Phillies have a propensity to draft high school players.
Well, they've done both. I mean, Nola was a college player. I think their first round pick this year was a college player, wasn't he? Yeah, the first round pick. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and I think one of the reasons, because they don't want to get in a bidding war, and the problem with high school players, they use the college as leverage, and once they go back to college, I think for it's either a year or 2 years, they can go back in the draft. So I think it might be 2 years. But whatever, that's, I think, one of the reasons they don't want to take high school players. But what's your point? What's your point?
Well, my question is this. So are they drafting the wrong people, or are they drafting the right people, but they just don't have the people in the minor leagues that develop them?
You know what? I think it might be a little bit. It's an interesting point. I think it might be a little bit of both. And baseball draft is a real crapshoot. I mean, Mike Trout goes somewhere into the 20s, and he's by far the best player in baseball and at least the last 15 years. It's hard to compare him to Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and, you know, those guys, because the game was different. It wasn't, the baseball wasn't a golf ball, and it just, it's a different game and players are different. But Mike Trout lasted into the 20s. Ryan Howard was a fifth round pick. Chase Utley, I think, was a second round pick. So, you know, with all
no,
that
he was
said,
the first pick.
Was it the end the of the first, was it the end of the first round?
Yeah, probably in the middle.
I think
middle.
It was. Wasn't it a compensatory pick that Chase? I think Chase Utley might have been. Tim, was that a compensatory pick?
No, it was middle of the first round.
It was middle of the first round. Okay, Jimmy Rollins was a second round pick, right?
Right. So it was Mike Schmidt.
Yeah. So You know, so it's an imperfect science. Baseball players are really hard to determine. I mean, it happens in every sport. Just because you draft a guy in the top 10 doesn't mean he's going to be good. And that's the standard for every sport.
Yeah. I remember when they drafted Moniak, they said that he was going to be a Christian Yelich type player.
Well, I don't remember that name, because when they drafted him, I don't know, and I appreciate the call. I don't know that Christian Yelich was on the radar as much as he is right now. He's got to hit. He wasn't a home run hitter. He's got to hit more home runs. Obviously, got to get bigger. And he has gotten, from what I understand, he has gotten better. John, you're on WIP. Yo, John. John, did I wake you up? John's sitting there. Let's see how long it takes. John? All right. I'm going to put him on hold. But, you know, the drafting of players is really a difficult science. Some teams are good at it. You look at the teams, the Yankees are good at it. The Red Sox are good at it. The Astros are good at it. So somebody knows what they're doing. And I know it's been a change of regime. I mean, when you go back to the Phillies, when they had their core, and their core was Schmidt, Boa, Leszczynski. Carlton was a trade, but Schmidt, Boa, Leszczynski, I think there was somebody in that reign. It's really hard to draft well. And I think there's got to be a little bit of luck, and there's got to be a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of an eye test. If you're checking exit velocity or exit velocity and launch angle for players in college, and I think some high schools do use wooden bats. Most of them probably use aluminum bats, but it's such a funny to watch the College World Series. And I watched a little bit of it in the college playoffs, and eventually somebody's going to be the champion. But you hear that ping off the aluminum bat. How do you check exit velocity and launch angle from an aluminum bat? It's the most useless thing I've ever seen. Take away the computers. I wonder if baseball people could operate without a computer for a week. You know, just to put out the lineups and put out the batting average. Okay, you need a computer to do that. All right, great. But outside of that, all this other nonsense, I don't need all this other nonsense. Put them away for a week. And just put out a lineup, not based on analytics, based on your feel. Go to the bullpen based on your feel, not who profiles well or doesn't profile well. And Gabe Kapler, probably my biggest criticism, is everything is okay, even though he says sometimes it's not. But then he kind of, you know, somebody asked him about the hitting coach. I don't think that's the problem. Players got to take accountability. He says they're the hardest working coaching staff in baseball. How does he know that? And he embellishes things a little too much. As far as his moves, he shouldn't be fired. The players, because then it gives the players an out. Everybody that wants him fired got to stop. They have got to stop, because that's not the issue, and you give the players an excuse. And the players never take accountability if you fire the manager, because then in their mind, well, it's not my fault. Look, they fired the manager. They can't, in the end of the season, they can change their approach and look at it and then evaluate it and then go from there. Not during the season. Who are you going to put in as manager? Don't tell me Joe Girardi. He's not coming here to manage the Phillies, especially in the middle of the season. No, it's just, all right. Well, they play again this afternoon. Now they got to win the next two games against Miami. Well, if they're going to win 90-some games,
they got to go 56-31 now
to win 95.
Forget the next two.
What's the percentage they have to go if they win? Chuck's readjusted his to 92 wins. So 92. So then they got to go 52. 53 and 34. They're not going to go 50. Come on, Chuck. Take your computer. Chuck, I'm coming over to your house. I'm going to take your computer. I'm going to find the tallest building in Philadelphia, and I think that's the Comcast building. I'm going to find an open window and throw your computer outside that window. And if I can get the Phillies computers, I'm going to throw the same computers outside that window. So when it hits the ground, there's not a shred of that information left there. All right. Everybody have a great weekend. Tim Kelly, not to be confused with that nitwit Tom Kelly, who gets carried away with a lot of things. Tim Kelly helped me out on the other side today. Howard Eskin, the Millennial's Choice. Jack Frick sent me a text. The Millennial's, yeah, yeah. You're riding with the king, who's the Millennial's Choice. 94 WIP. Glenn and Ray are next. WIP Sports Time is now 9:57.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.